Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised.
Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
To God be the glory.
Great things he hath done.
So, boys and girls, it's so good to see you today. Do you know that tomorrow is the first day of the month of May? May the 8th is your birthday? Congratulations. That's just going to be like 8 days from now. And when the wonderful thing is, after May comes the month of June, and then you'll be out of school. But you know, one of the best weeks of the summer is Vacation Bible School. And we're already planning for Bible school. So what I gave you this morning, I gave you a bookmark that has the books of the Bible. Do any of you know? I know some of you girls know the books of the Bible. So I thought it would be good we could have a contest. In Bible school. And we could start out with the preschoolers. Say for the younger preschoolers, maybe you could learn the first four books of the New Testament. Anybody know what that is? Some of you older ones, that's easy. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So we'll say our younger preschoolers can learn that. Now the older preschoolers can learn the first four books of the New Testament and the first five books of the Old Testament. How about that? And then for like the first, second, and third graders, you can learn all the New Testament books and the first five books of the Old Testament. And for you older kids, you have to learn all 66 books. And for the teenagers, all 66 books plus the Apocrypha. Well, let me tell you, the Apocrypha is cool, man. There's Bell and the Dragon. There's 1st and 2nd Maccabees. You'll have fun with that. So if you start working on it now, and then this is just something that I'm going to do. This is a G-Daddy thing. This isn't a Bible school thing. If you can learn those books and say them to me at Bible school, I'm going to have something really, really special for you. Okay? Does that sound good? Are you excited? I can tell you are. Are you excited about summer vacation? Okay. Let's have a prayer together. Thank you, dear God, for these girls and boys, and for the message of the Bible, which is the message of love. You love each and every one of us, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so you start learning those books. And I'm going to find something really, really special for you. Does that sound like a deal? We're grateful today that one of our deacons, Monette Fry, will share greetings on behalf of our church.
Good morning. On behalf of the leadership and the deacons of First Baptist Church Lexington, we're so glad that you have joined us today, whether you join us here in the sanctuary, on the radio, or over the web, we're glad for your presence and that you have decided to worship the Lord with us today. If you're a visitor in the sanctuary, please fill out a visitor's card on the pew in front of you and put it in the offering plate later in the service so that we'll have a record of your attendance. Again, we're so glad that you're here, and we're glad for the talents that are being shared with us by so many today. Thank you.
Good morning. Our scripture reading today comes from 1 Corinthians 13. I'll be reading from the NIV. If I speak in the tongue of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to the hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in parts, and we prophesy in parts, but when the completeness comes, what is the part that disappears? When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a recollection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part that I shall know fully, even as I'm fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of God for the people of God.
That was absolutely beautiful. Thank you. That beautiful anthem that's based on the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians was composed in 1972 by Hal Hobson, who was one of the most gifted and accomplished church musicians of the 20th century. Do you realize he had over 1,300 pieces that he composed? He was a prolific hymn writer. But the gift of love was by far the most popular. In fact, he was once introduced at a seminar as the gift of love man. But if we go back over 100 years to the 19th century, the most accomplished gospel hymn writer, without question, was a blind musician by the name of Fanny Crosby. We have 9 of her hymns in our hymnal. We're going to sing 4 of these today. But if we go back to the previous hymnal, remember, this is the 75 Baptist hymnal. There are 13 Fanny Crosby hymns. But then if we go even further back, how many of you remember this? This is the 56th Baptist hymnal. This is the hymnal I grew up with, my favorite. There are 21 Fanny Crosby hymns. And then do any of you remember the old Broadman hymnal, 1946, the Broadman hymnal? You want to guess how many Fanny Crosby hymns are in this hymnal? I have no clue because they're not indexed. But I guarantee you there are more than 21. But it should not surprise us because Fanny Crosby composed over 8,000 hymns. And the amazing thing about that, she did not start writing hymns until she was in her 40s. She was a normal baby girl. When she was 6 weeks old, she became ill. And there was a man pretending to be a doctor who placed hot mustard packs on her eyes and left her permanently blind. She attended and later taught at the New York Institute for the Blind. And she became known for her rhetorical skills. She would write poetry, and she could quote great literary works from memory. She became a political activist, lobbying for the education for the blind. Fanny Crosby met presidents, senators, and governors. And did you know the first female to speak on the floor of the United States Congress was Fanny Crosby? In 1846, she actually addressed a joint session of Congress advocating for the blind. She also performed at the White House for President Polk and his wife. And for someone who wrote over 8,000 hymns, she didn't start writing until her 40s. The very first hymn that she wrote had to do with heaven. We are going to a home beyond the skies. It's interesting when you look at the hymns of Fanny Crosby, how many of these have references to heaven and the afterlife, and also references to sight. We just sang, "To God be the glory, great things he hath done, great things he hath taught us through Jesus his Son." She wrote, "Great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son, but purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see." Now, Fanny Crosby did not write the song, "What a Day That Will Be," but she could have. It was written by a Southern gospel hymn writer named Jim Hill. But I want to tell you what Fanny Crosby said. She never wanted anyone to feel sorry for her because of her blindness. And she once said, "When I get to heaven, the first face that I will ever see that will gladden my sight will be that of my Savior. What a day that shall be when my Jesus I shall see."
There is coming a day when the tired ache shall come, No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There will be no sorrows there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon the face of the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon the face of the one who saved me by his grace. And he'll take me by the hand and lead me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Jim, thank you. It was just a few weeks ago that Jim Barton was over at the VA hospital in Salisbury. Jim, we didn't even know if you'd get back to church, much less back into the choir, much less singing a solo. Thank you. Yes, praise the Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Would you join me as we pray together? Dear God, we are a people with a blessed hope, and we rejoice in the truth that one day we will be face to face with Christ, our Savior. What a day that will be. Until then, we are called to work the works of the one who called us while it is day, while it is light, while we have the strength and ability to work. Because the night comes when no one can work. And so may we be faithful to work for justice and equality and peace. May we work with compassion and kindness, and most of all with love. For you have loved us with an everlasting love. And you have left us with a new commandment that we are to love one another even as you have loved us. We come to you today on behalf of many who are sick. There are many who continue to struggle, many who await surgery even this week. We know that you are the great physician, that you know our needs even before we ask. But yet we do ask. We ask for mercy and grace and strength and for healing within your divine will. We come to you today, O God, because we have failed. We have sinned. We have sinned against you in our thoughts and our words and our deeds. We have sinned by what we have done and even by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. And so we come to you today truly sorry. We humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray that you would have mercy on us and you would forgive us, that we would delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name as we follow you, even as you taught us all to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. In just a moment, we're going to sing another Fanny Crosby hymn. It's number 505, and it's one of my favorites, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It. It's a beautiful hymn to sing. It just literally bubbles with excitement and joy. Our call to worship today started with the words, Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, rejoice and be glad. And that's exactly what we are about to do. Someone asked Fanny Crosby once, of all the hymns you've ever written, which do you think best describes your conversion to Christ? And she started to sing, Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So this is what we're going to do. Now you're going to have to pay attention. We want all the men to sing the first stanza. Okay? Okay, guys, get ready. We want all the women to sing the second stanza. And then we'll all sing the third stanza, and we'll all sing the chorus on all three stanzas. Let us stand, if you're able, and sing Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It.
Our scripture lesson today is from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Do not forgive this one thing, dear friends. When the Lord a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. This too is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Jim. You remember that the night that Jesus spent with his disciples, the night before his crucifixion, he told his disciples that he was going away. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Well, the early church remembered that. And when Jesus said, I'm coming again, they thought he meant quickly, within the first few months, within the first few years. But as time went on, they started to wonder what has happened. And this is the issue that Simon Peter addresses that Jim has just shared with us. He said, the Lord is not slow about his promise, but he's being patient with you because he doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to have an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of life. Now, this is the scripture passage that Fanny Crosby used for this next hymn, Rescue the Perishing. But there's more than just the scripture. Fanny Crosby, writing over 8,000 hymns, she and her husband could have lived very comfortably. She was not wealthy, but she had the means to live much better than she did. They said that she gave away most of her money. She and her husband lived in a small, cramped apartment on Manhattan's Lower East Side, close to one of the worst slums in New York City in the 1800s. She spent a lot of time working at America's first rescue mission, the Water Street Mission. This is what she said. You can't save a man by telling him of his sins. He knows them already. Tell him that there is pardon. Tell him that there is love awaiting him. Win his confidence and make him understand that you believe in him and never, ever give up on him. That's reflected in the words of this beautiful hymn when she writes of lifting up the fallen. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. We're going to sing 736, but I'm going to give you a break. I understand that there are people perishing in this congregation, and it's hard for you to stand up. So for all the perishing, since we're all perishing, we can sit down. We're going to remain seated as we sing this great gospel hymn, Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying.
Thank you.
There's so many of these wonderful, beautiful hymns that we associate with Fanny Crosby. But when you hear the gospel song, "I'd Rather Have Jesus," who immediately comes to mind? George Beverly Shea. This was his signature song with that great baritone voice singing at a Billy Graham crusade. How many of you ever attended a Billy Graham crusade? Just raise your hand. Yeah, most of us did. In fact, when they first opened the Panther Stadium down in Charlotte, one of the first events was a Billy Graham crusade. I remember Billy Graham coming to Birmingham in the mid-60s in the midst of all the racial tension as he tried to bring a message of peace and reconciliation. But George Beverly Shea, for decades, sang with Billy Graham. But I bet you didn't know this. Back in the 1930s, there was a fellow by the name of Fred Allen who had a radio show, a national radio show. Now, young people, they didn't even have television back in those days. And there was no American Idol. There was no The Voice or America's Got Talent. But on Fred Allen's national radio show, he had a talent contest, a national talent contest. George Beverly Shea entered that contest. He sang "Go Down Moses," and he won second place. $15. The words of "I'd Rather Have Jesus" were not written by George Beverly Shea. He wrote the music, but not the words. They were written by a lady by the name of Ray Miller, whose alcoholic father had experienced a dramatic Christian conversion. In fact, her father later became a pastor, and he would often say, "I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold." And in 1922, George Beverly Shea put these words to music. He started singing with Billy Graham in 1947. This became his signature song. He performed it all over the world. He died in 2013 at the age of 104. "I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold."
Thank you.
I think George would be proud. Of over 8,000 hymns, is there a favorite? Is there one that is more popular than any other? Well, I've heard a lot of people say this final hymn that we sing is the best of the best of Fanny Crosby. It's hard to beat Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. In fact, this was actually a theme song at the early Billy Graham Crusades. Phoebe Knapp was a well-known hymn composer. In fact, she wrote the music for a number of Fanny Crosby hymns. She had written this beautiful music, and one day Fanny Crosby came over to her house and she said, "Listen to this. What do these words say?" And she said, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." And as we sing this together, pay close attention to the words, "Vision of rapture now burst on my sight." Let us stand and sing.
Let us pray. Lord, we know that we need you in our lives, yet we also know that you need us in the world. We need you, Lord, to provide for us the food in this world, yet you need us to distribute, to harvest, and to make sure that the people who need the food have it. We need you, Lord, to provide the raw materials for shelter, yet you need man to construct those shelter and provide for those that need it. We need you, Lord, to provide the raw materials for clothing, yet you need man to create those clothes and distribute to those who need it. And we need you most, Lord, for love and compassion, yet it is our job to express it. Lord, we ask that you take this offerings as gifts today as an expression of our willingness to do our part as you have done yours. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Hasn't this been a great service today? I want to thank our senior adult choir and our sanctuary choir. Of course, Paul and Deborah for all the background work that goes into getting them ready every week. And also for Peggy Barnhart and Billy Doris Barrett. Thank you all. That was beautiful. I love for you to play together. And we thank you for blessing us. And Jim Barton, thank you again for your solo today that just means so much to us. For all of you, thank you for being here. We have visitors in our service. It is so good to see you. And you come back and see us again soon. And Sandy, it's good to see you back. It's been a long time. We're glad you're doing better as well. And now our choir will lead us in our benediction.